Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 915, the topic is training, and the title is a program review for strength and endurance. So just two podcasts ago, in podcast number 913, we did a kind of a Q&A podcast and we answered a listener's question as to how long do I follow a program. And we talked about just that question, as well as some other nuances of when should we see results in programs. So if I'm programming for strength, how long should I wait before I see results to know if my program is working? And in general, please go back and listen to that podcast. But in general, we said you should be able to see results within 4 to 12 weeks of pretty much any program, whether it's a program for strength, program for muscle size, program for endurance, whether that's muscular endurance, cardiovascular endurance. You should be able to see within 4 to 12 weeks that there is some progressive improvement, there's some kind of noticeable difference for your workload. Now, in that podcast, I offer to do free training reviews. We've done some nutrition reviews in the past where a listener can send in what their goal is, they can send what they're currently doing nutrition-wise, and then we just kind of give them a free consultation via podcast. And the hope is that everyone can learn from the examples, the advice given to that individual, and be able to apply that information back to their own nutrition. Now, that's an ongoing open option. So if anybody ever wants a nutrition review, we will do it for free through the podcast. So pretty awesome offer there. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to do a training review. So what we're going to look at is a listener sent in their training protocol, a training program, and then we're going to talk about the pros and cons. Now, this actually is the exact same listener that we did the podcast for at 913. We answered their question as how long they should follow a program. It's the exact same person, so it's pretty awesome. It also just happens to be one of my best friends, so yay! So I get to help one of my best friends and help you as well. So what today's training program, he's training for both strength and cardiovascular endurance. So he's in the military and he wants to be strong, needs to be strong, but then he also has to be able to do long duration, long distance type endurance. Now, these can seem like they're countering goals. I've had people tell me that before. You know, how can I be good at running if I'm supposed to, if, you know, how can I be strong when I'm all supposed to run for my job or for whatever might be the reason? You can do both. There's absolutely no reason why you can't be strong and run. I know, I'm just blanking on the guy's name, but I know of a guy who did a 700-pound squat, and then the next weekend ran a marathon. So you can be strong and have good endurance. You just have to earn it by putting in high-quality work and being consistent, dedicated, you know, all the good things. But you can definitely do that. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about the strength part of their program. Now, specifically why is they are doing what would be considered kind of a very basic linear progressive model, meaning they want to just squat. I'll give you a quick review of their training and then we'll talk about it, I guess. So every morning they do yoga, and that helps with them to maintain kind of good body awareness, good body positioning, good flexibility. So just really open, good movement that they can do. It's also restorative, so if they get tight from running, if they get tight from lifting, it can open them back up for the rest of the day, rather than having the whole day they feel kind of creaky, cranky in the joints and muscles, and then throughout the day they kind of loosen up here and there. If you just get up in the morning and loosen everything right away, there's a lot less body annoyance as you go throughout the day, so that's a really good idea for them to do that. Now, Monday morning they go for a 4-mile run, and they do body weight exercises. Then on Tuesday, they do 5x5 of deadlift, overhead press, and squats. Now, what 5x5 means, they do 5 sets of 5 reps. Now, their linear progression model is whatever weight they use on, you know, say this Tuesday for 5 sets of 5 reps on deadlifts, for example. What their goal is next Tuesday to try to do 5 sets of 6 reps. Then they try to work up to maybe 5 sets of 7 reps the following week. Maybe the next week they try to do 5 sets of 8 reps. So their goal is to go from 5x5 up to 5 sets of 10 reps. And then if they can do that, they'll increase their weight load. So what they're trying to do is give their body, an opportunity to try to get stronger each week by adding a rep. We're going to talk about why I would make some changes to this throughout the rest of this podcast. But that's their hope, is that if they can do 5 sets of 5 reps with a certain weight, they want to eventually get up to doing 5 sets of 5 reps. Now, we could kind of essentially just say, like, they're doing 25 reps with a weight. So 5 sets of 5. They want to be able to get up to 50 reps with that weight before they would then move up in weight. Now, Wednesday, they do sprints and bench press. So they'll do a sprint work, and then they do their bench press of the 5x5 progression. Thursday is a 4 to 6 mile ruck with a weighted pack. So it's basically like hiking with a weighted pack on. And they said 35 pounds or more, which is definitely significant. Friday, they go back to the exact same thing with squat, deadlift, and overhead press is the 5x5 with that same kind of 5x5 leading to 5x10 kind of linear progression. Wednesday, they do some soft tissue muscle work, recovery work, and they fit in their bench press 5x5. Now, their overall structure, the intent of what they're doing, everything looks good on the surface, but there's some things we can kind of fine-tune and get a little bit better, and I'm going to talk about why. So one of the negatives to this type of structure, this 5x5 linear progression, is repeated stimuli have decreasing adaptation. So we all know this, that if I go out and run a mile for the first time ever, it's going to be awful. You'll feel miserable, you'll question your life and why you make poor decisions. Then you go out, run the next day, run a mile. 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 If you do that maybe, 2 weeks in a row, by the 14th day, that mile doesn't feel so miserable. You have made some adaptations to it. Well, if we do it another 14 days, the mile will get a little bit easier, sure. You're going to get a little bit better increase in time, a little bit better body feel, but it's not going to be as significant of a change as it was the first 14 days. So let's say after 28 days, you run for another 14 days of running a mile. Pretty much by then, it's going to start to feel like, ho-hum, okay, yeah, I'm doing this now. I'm doing this every day. My body understands how to do this now. So you look at maybe 6 weeks of running a mile, and then from there on, if you wanted to progressively get better at running a mile, and your only way of doing that would be to run a mile, what are your options? You can try to run faster. You can try to run harder. But if that repeated stimulus is just a continual paced mile, the body's adaptations to that stimulus reduce. So every time you run a mile, it makes less and less changes to your body. Well, if I squat 5x5, and I do that Tuesday, and I do it Friday, and I do it next Tuesday, I do it next Friday, I do it the following Tuesday, the following Friday, what is the difference? You could say, okay, well, with a mile, you said, what if I'm just running continuously? What if I made changes? What if I made changes to the mile? I could get better at running a mile. So instead of running a mile at a continuous pace, maybe I'll do sprint intervals, right? So you could, sprint for 30 seconds, walk for 30 seconds, sprint for 30 seconds, walk for 30 seconds. What you're doing is you're trying to increase the intensity stress of the stimulus. That's going to continue adaptation. Our body has to respond to the increase in intensity. So we're making running a mile harder than just the continual pace of a mile, right? That's how we would progress in a mile. That's one of a bajillion options. So we would say, okay, well, in my squatting, if I'm doing 5x5, I'm increasing the intensity by adding weight load. Okay. But are you? in this example, we're not adding weight load. We're actually trying to add repetitions. So what you're trying to do here is trying to use the same weight and add an intensity of an added rep here or there. The problem is that stimulus is still pretty much the exact same stimulus. There's not much of a difference between doing a set of five versus doing a set of six of the exact same weight. A more shocking intensity change would be to purposely let the reps come down and let the weight come up. What's overwhelmed, like overall, if we look at the scope of this, what's needed is that the stimulus you're providing needs to be continually progressive. It needs to be refreshed. It needs to be new. If the stimulus is too similar, it's not going to make us much better. Our body doesn't have to adapt to that. That's something to think of when we look at our body's adaptations, is it only improves if it feels like it has to. Therefore, the degree of the sensation of having to adapt can be correlated to how well we make adaptations. So if my body feels slightly stressed, it's not going to make much changes at all. If it feels super stressed, then it's going to have to really make some changes. So I'm going to go through that here in a little bit deeper detail in a second. But another thing I want to mention is that if you just squat, bench, deadlift, overhead press, you do the basic lifts, there's no direct work on your weaknesses. So how do you get to the weakest link of the chain? If you do the basic lift all the time, just squat, 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 we naturally have strengths, like stronger muscles. We naturally have like a body pathway that the body wants to use that hides its weaknesses and kind of relies on its strengths. The only way to then get to the weaknesses is to wear out the strengths. You have to do a lot of volume to wear out your strongest things to then expose the weakest things. That's not a great idea, especially in this example where you're trying to do strength plus endurance. If we have unnecessary training volume, that's just an unnecessary use of calories, unnecessary use of our recovery ability, which is a finite ability at any one given time. We can improve it over time, but at one point in time, we only have so much. So you're doing all of this extra work to get to the work that actually matters. What I've seen in past clients that use kind of a 5x5 or linear progression model, where they just do the same exercise over and over and over, thinking it's going to make them better. What I've seen in 19 years of being a personal trainer, in over 2,000 clients, and I've taught at the university level, 500 students, taught exercise physiology, so I know very well the science and formal education aspect to how the body responds. I also know experientially how the body responds. What I'll see is the person makes some progress at first. Then the progress starts to really slow. It becomes a very big struggle to kind of add one, maybe two reps here or there. So in their workout, they're going from maybe a total of 32 reps to a total of 33 reps. What is the big difference? It's a very small volume increase, very small stimulus increase. It's almost negligible. So they make progress at first, but then it plateaus. Because it's starting to plateau, because they're getting frustrated, the form starts to kind of vary a little bit, because they want to get that extra one rep. They want to get that extra, you know, little bit, so they're willing to kind of lift their head. They're willing to let their knees fall in. They're willing to kind of pull through their back. They're willing to let some of the quality go. We start having small, annoying injuries because of that, and also because of just repeated body pathways. So the joints are being used only a specific angle, specific twist, specific positions, and it's overloading that part of the range of motion, that part of the joint, that part of the muscle, but there's nothing being stimulated around that area. around that part. So everything around it gets weaker and weaker and weaker because it's not used. So the supporting areas kind of fall off as that one area gets overworked. What we start to see is small increases in like annoying parts. So the shoulder hurts, the elbow hurts, the knee hurts. They have a bad workout one day. So maybe last week they got 35 total reps, but this week they can only do 32. They feel like a failure. This stinks. And what do you know? The stimulus kind of downgraded. So the ups and downs of life, the ups and downs of kind of peaking and kind of improving cause stagnation. The person loses interest or they're just not making progress. They're frustrated. They're annoyed. Everything hurts. So they quit and they try something new or they quit entirely. Linear progression does not work well. A much better method is to create more variety within your stimulus. Create more intensity of stimulus, but allow for kind of response from the body. So there's a bunch of different names for different types of training structures, but let's go through the exact examples of what I would change in this program. So the first thing I would change is on Tuesdays and Wednesdays when they do their first time of doing squat, overhead press, deadlift, and bench press. Instead of 5x5, do 3 sets of 5 to 6 reps on week 1. So whatever weight you think you can do for somewhere between 5 and 6 reps. So if you can pick a weight and you barely survive 5, great. If you pick a weight and you do the 5th one, you're like, I think I could do a 6th. Then you'll try it, maybe you'll get it, and then that'll be your stimulus. So 3 sets of 5 to 6 reps. Now this is important to note, and this is significant. So do not skip what I'm about to say. Each of these 3 sets needs to be seen as their own individual set. Do not use a weight on the first set, wondering and thinking, okay, I'll probably also be able to do this on the 2nd and 3rd. I'm not saying sandbag the first set so you can use the same weight on the 3rd set. What I'm saying is, on the very first set of you think you're going to be like a working set, you pick the heaviest damn thing you think you can get for 5 to 6 reps. You absolutely kick your ass trying to get 5 to 6 reps. You take a big, long break. Then you say on the 2nd set, okay, what now is the heaviest weight I think I could do? Can I do the same weight? Or maybe because that was so freaking miserable, I have to take 5 pounds off. Maybe even 10 pounds off. You do your 2nd set. It's the best individual effort that you think you can possibly do for 5 to 6 reps. You then take a break and you come back for the 3rd set. Do not sandbag the 1st set. Kick your ass in the 1st set. Kick your ass in the 2nd set and kick your ass in the 3rd set. It's only 3 sets. But you're going to treat each one as an individual best effort possible. Okay? So 3 sets of 5 to 6 reps in week 1. Week 2, we're going to do 3 sets of 4 to 5 reps. This means that we're decreasing our reps, which is going to allow us to increase our weight load. What we want to think of here is our goal is strength. Right? Well, does adding reps or does adding weight correlate better to strength? Adding weight does. So each week we're going to allow for decreasing rep ranges. This allows for progressive overload in a more specific manner to strength production. 5 sets of 5 versus 5 sets of 6 versus 5 sets of 7, what you're actually increasing as you would do that is actually you're increasing muscular damage, system damage. You're not increasing strength production. If I'm increasing my time under tension, that is taking something that's a low time under tension, which is strength-related response, to a higher time under tension, which is a muscle damage and if response. And if you eat excessive calories, you get muscle growth. if you don't eat enough calories, the muscles kind of just stay the same. Maybe they'll shape a little bit better, or they just kind of stay the same and you don't really see anything different. So by going 5x5, 5x6, 5x7, you're actually increasing muscular damage. You're not actually specifically increasing strength production. So week one is 3 sets of 5 to 6. Week two is 3 sets of 4 to 5. Week three is 3 sets of 3 to 4. Week four is 3 sets of 2 to 3. So each week we're allowing a reduction in reps so we can sneak on maybe 5 pounds, maybe 10 pounds more into the lift. Our goal is to increase strength. How do you measure increased strength? Is increased how much weight you move. Well, if we encourage our body by giving it more weight to move each week, we encourage strength production. Now, the other part, why did I pick 3 sets as opposed to 5 sets? Is because decrease in training volume past what the body really needs to strength increase. So what I'm looking to do here is, if I do 3 sets, each of the sets, maximal effort, maximum intent, maximum purpose, I wouldn't have anything left for a 4th set or a 5th set. We don't need more just lifting volume. We want our lifting to matter. If we have running to do, we have another workouts later in the week. We're working out 4 times a week with weights. Then you have your weighted rucking. Then you have body weight exercises. That's a lot of muscular work in the week. So we want to make sure that whatever muscular work we do, we get something for it. If I do 5 sets of 5, chances are the 1st set and the 2nd set are not really maximal efforts. Most people do 5x5 hoping that by the 5th set, that weight they're using, they can still survive it. Meaning the 1st set is not really truly maximal. And then the 2nd set is getting a little bit closer to maximal. The 3rd set, they're trying their best. 4th set, they're trying their best. And maybe the 5th set, they kind of die off. They might miss the final rep. But most people don't have 5 max efforts in them. Meaning that 1 or 2 of those are going to be not really truly max effort. Well, then if it's not really truly max effort, it's not going to really truly get maximum adaptation, so therefore it's not worth doing. Why would we tax our body and pull away from our recovery ability for sets that won't truly get the best result? We still have all this running, we still have all the rucking, we still have all the bodyweight exercises. We have a lot of recovery demand. So if I lessen my training volume with weights, I'm pulling away less from that recovery demand, and therefore I can have better adaptations and responses to my other events as well, such as the running, the rucking, the bodyweight movements. So that's going to be the first thing I would ask them to change, is to do 3 sets of 5 to 6 reps in week 1, 3 sets of 4 to 5 reps in week 2, 3 sets of 3 to 4 reps in week 3, 3 sets of 2 to 3 reps in week 4. Now, what do we do with the 2nd workouts of the week? The workouts on Friday for squat, overhead press, and deadlift, and the bench press workout later on the weekend. What I would suggest they do is they move away from the basic lifts, and they do specific weakness variations of the main lifts. So, for example, most people in, like deadlift, for example, most people need improved strength in their hamstrings and lower glutes, whether that's conventional or sumo. So instead of doing a regular deadlift, trying to wear out my quads, trying to wear out my lower back to get to my hamstrings and glutes, let's just do a deadlift variation that specifically targets the hamstrings and glutes. So we don't beat the shit out of our strength things. We actually can use them, but not maximally abuse them. So for example, on squats, on the 2nd workout a week, I'd have them do front squats rather than regular squat. That's going to target the thoracic spine, the upper back bracing ability. And that's also going to target mostly their quadriceps. Then for deadlift, we'll have them do, if they're a conventional deadlifter, they can do RDLs from the floor. That's going to emphasize the hamstrings and glutes. It de-emphasizes the quadriceps. If they're a sumo deadlifter, they can do sumo stance stiff leg deadlifts from the floor. Again, that de-emphasizes the strengths, and it emphasizes the weaknesses. We don't have to train through the strength to get to the weaknesses. Overhead press, maybe they can do what's called a push press with slow eccentric. So rather than a strict press where they do no leg drive, they can go ahead and use their legs and drive the weight, push the weight up overhead, and then slowly lower the weight back down under control for, say, a three count. 3, 2, 1. It gets back to the front rack position. They bend their legs. They drive the bar up over the head. Then they control the weight back down again for 3, 2, 1. And that eccentric overload, because you can do more weight with a push press than you can a strict press, that eccentric overload is going to push the development of their pressing muscles. Then for bench press, maybe they can play around with variable grip width spoto presses. So a spoto press is, instead of letting the bar come down and actually touch onto your chest, you would pause like a half inch or so off the chest. What this does is this prevents any kind of deloading of the weight into the chest cavity. So you don't get a relaxation at the bottom of the lift in regards to weight load into the stretched musculature. So they can do variable width of grips to better target their chest or better target their triceps. So they might do, you know, 2 or 3 sets of a wide grip. 2 or 3, well, let's just go 1 to 2. So we want to keep our volume down. So let's have them do 2 best sets of a wide grip. So 2 to 4 fingers wider than a normal bench. 2 best sets, narrow grip. 2 to 4 fingers narrower than a normal grip. That's going to give them a good stimulus where the wider grip better targets the chest, the narrower grip better targets the triceps. But this would be the example that I would do on the second workout a week, is I would do variations of the main lifts. You're still going to have the strength, the strongest muscles involved. So just because you're doing a front squat doesn't mean your hamstrings and glutes don't work. You know, they're definitely going to be in there. Just because you're doing an RDL from the floor or a stiff leg deadlift from the floor, your quadriceps are still involved. So the other muscles are still involved, but they're not going to be emphasized. So if you think of it, we're actually flipped in the script from the beginning workout of the week. So the workouts of the beginning of the week on Tuesdays and Wednesdays kind of use our strongest muscles and then eventually our weakest as the strong one wears out. Well, if later in the week we do exercises that target the weaknesses with only the strong ones being supportive, that's a better way to create more variety of stimulus and more kind of shocking difference of stimulus. And it helps us isolate those weaknesses to get them to come up. So the variations allow for better targeting of the weaknesses to get around strength rather than having to wear out your strength. Other than the benefit of specifically targeting what you need to target to get better, it also reduces collateral damage. You're not having to train as much volume, so that reduces, that helps with recovery. It reduces muscular breakdown. So this actually helps with maintaining size. So a lot of times when people try to do strength and endurance, they lose size. And it's because they're training so much, they're beating the crap out of all their muscles, they're tearing the muscles down, they're not eating enough, and they don't have enough of recovery ability to repair all that size. So they start to get thinner and thinner and smaller and smaller. So if we reduce training volume, it helps to maintain muscle mass. It also helps to make sure that we don't get those aches and pains, those annoyances in our joints. Then the new positions help strengthen new parts of your range of motion. This helps with injury prevention, not only in the lifts, but also through cardiovascular exercises, especially if somebody's doing a ruck in uneven ground. You want to have a lot of ankle, knee, and hip stability and strength in all parts of the range of motion. And then their PT goals for the military, if they're, you know, being tested in push-ups, sit-ups, and a 2-mile run, decreasing the training demand in the weights, like getting rid of the sets that don't really help us, allows them for better performance in those goals because they're not going into those things so worn out. Instead, they're coming into strength and more refreshed. So these are the changes that I'd recommend the person make. Instead of doing a 5x5 scheme with an increasing rep count, I would start with that 5-rep goal and work down in reps and add weight each week. That's going to be more specific to what they want to do. They want to eventually get heavier weight loads on them. So practice. Put heavier weight loads on you. Okay? And then do the variations, the weakness variations, on that second workout of the week. They're going to follow the exact same progression, by the way. So they'll still follow that 3 sets of 5 to 6 reps in week 1, 3 sets of 4 to 5 reps in week 2, 3 sets of 3 to 4 reps in week 3, 3 sets of 2 to 3 reps in week 4. Now, some things that we can kind of take away for everybody. If you've listened to this, and I appreciate that you did, it's 30 minutes, but what we're looking at is of what we're doing, what do we get? Does each effort I give, is it maximal stimulus? Is it the best I can possibly do? Or am I just putting in a couple fluffer filler sets, hoping to get to the end and survive? Make sure that every single thing you do has a very important purpose. Now, if you warm up your exercises, it makes sense that you wouldn't go to max effort, okay? So if I want to work up to a 400-pound squat, I do have to squat light weights to get up there. But make sure you're paying attention to your technique. You know, what's the position of your head? What's the position of your back? Are you breathing well? Are you bracing your core? Be very purposeful in every single thing you do. Make sure you're paying attention to technique. Make sure you're paying attention to what the muscles are doing, who's in charge. Am I letting momentum take over, or am I keeping my muscles in charge? So we really have to look at the quality of what we're doing. That's going to be a big thing that most people do not look at. Most people just think, okay, I went in, I worked out, I got my workout done. It's not that you got it done. It's how you got it done that matters. Okay. So, hopefully this was helpful for everybody to hear. You can kind of see the thoughts that would go through my mind looking at the program and say, okay, you know, we have competing kind of aspects here. How do I get the most from the least for each so I don't overtax my recovery ability? That's something that's very important as well. And then just knowing that we have to change up and progressively make our stimulus challenging so that way our body continues to adapt. So remember, your body only adapts if it's a forced discomfort. Your body has to believe that adaptation is necessary for survival. If it doesn't, then it won't. Okay? Well, if anybody else would ever like a training review, I appreciate everybody listening, and I appreciate the interest that people have in this. So if you're interested, just email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. We'll break down your training, and we'll have fun just kind of learning from your lesson, and then you can take the notes and apply them directly to your training. So thank you. We also do, just throwing it out there, we do offer monthly programming. We have programming that you can get for as a one-on-one client with me, but we also have just kind of programming based on goals. So if you're a male and you want to get stronger, you're a female and you want to get stronger, you know, or male or female winning for aesthetic development. And the reason I'm saying male and female is you do train differently based on males or females. You would train differently for strength or for muscle size. There's a lot of differences in what you would want for a stimulus. So if you're interested in very good programming that has all of the components balanced of everything we talked about in today's podcast and more, just reach out to us. It's $50 a month. There's no contract. You can pay for a couple months and then just take the programs and repeat them on your own forever. So the programs include nutrition training programs that include like exercises, even video tutorials, how many sets, how many reps, all the good details. It includes nutrition program information that's specific to the goal you're doing, morning motivational messages, accountability tracking, free technique review, and free educational support. So that's monthly programming, $50 a month. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So if you want to learn how to do programming and see examples of it and get ones that would be specific to your goal, that's a great option. So just let us know. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. If you want to check out any other services we have, our website is www.brutalirongym.com. Cool. Well, if you like today's podcast, if you think it's helpful, if you think it's interesting, please click like and please consider sharing the podcast. The more people we share the podcast with, the more people we can help live healthier and happier lives. So please, please, please do that, and thank you to those who do. If you like the information that we present in our podcast, you can always find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. You can tell us our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.